Your hometown newspaper of the air brings you What's Doing in Western Michigan. What's Doing in Western Michigan? Transcribed roundup of the news and views of the cities, towns, and countryside of Western Michigan as reported in the daily and weekly newspapers received during the week in the WKZO newsroom. Your reporter, Willis Dunbar.
Good afternoon. A 30-year-old bank in Pawpaw, the John W. Free State Bank, has been purchased by the First National Bank and Trust Company of Kalamazoo, according to the Pawpaw Courier-Northerner. It will henceforth be operated as a branch of First National, along with banks in Parchment, Galesburg, and Vicksburg. The staff of the bank will continue to serve the public. The assets of the Pawpaw Bank as of December 31st last year amounted to over $1,700,000. Many Western Michigan communities have taken to holding town meetings to discuss and seek solutions for local problems. Such a meeting has been arranged in Allegan for March 25th. To talk over the crowded condition of the local schools, says the Allegan News. Last night in Allegan, the annual County Lincoln Banquet was held. The chief speaker was Lee Thurston, State Superintendent of Public Instruction. Among the others present were State Senators Harold Tripp and Elwood Bonine, Representative Edward Hutchinson, and Congressman Claire Hoffman, says the Allegan News and the Allegan Gazette. The latter paper also recounts plans to reorganize a boys' hobby club in Otsego, which was quite a success last year. The Reverend B.W. Munson, pastor of the local Church of God, who originated the club last year, was moved to reorganize it as a result of the recent arrest of six Otsego teenage youths charged with stealing or destroying over $50,000 in property over a three-county area. Several communities are planning for father-son banquets within the next week or so. There's one coming up in Belding, according to the Belding Banner News, and also one in Lawton. The Lawton Leader announces the date for the event there as next Wednesday. In Cassopolis, the local exchange club has hit upon an interesting idea for recognizing boys whose achievements and good deeds are outstanding. Each month, the club will select a Boy of the Month, honor him at a dinner, and award him a certificate of merit. And then at the close of the year, a Boy of the Year will be chosen for special recognition, says the Cassopolis Vigilant. Dollar Days are here again. The merchants down at Coldwater are going to have Dollar Day bargains the last 3 days of this week. And the Three Rivers commercial came out last Wednesday, printed on green paper, to call attention to the Dollar Days being staged by Three Rivers merchants the last 3 days of last week. Also on Three Rivers, the high school faculty will turn thespians next Wednesday evening when they present Arsenic and Old Lace in the high school auditorium. In Climax, the Veterans of Foreign Wars have launched an important project in the collection of pictures and service records of all veterans of World Wars I and II in the community. These are going to be placed in a bound book as a permanent record, says the Climax Crescent. Well, the political pot was sizzling over this weekend. The Republicans held their state convention at Grand Rapids yesterday, and tomorrow primary elections are to be held in many townships and cities. The Holland Evening Sentinel says that city will vote on whether to undertake the complete revision of its 80-year-old charter. Grand Rapids is going to elect a city commission and vote on the single assessor system to replace its present system of one assessor for each of the city's three wards. In Kalamazoo, citizens will vote again on parking meters, while in Kalamazoo County, chief interest centers in the five-man race for the probate judgeship. In the villages, it's caucus time. Most of the caucuses were held yesterday or will be held tomorrow. The Vicksburg Commercial tells that two tickets, the taxpayers and the citizens, will choose candidates in that village. The Centerville Observer also reports two village parties in the St. Joseph County seat. The Sturgis Journal said editorially last week, "Democracy begins at home. The United States cannot be strong nationally and internationally unless it is strong in every village and hamlet from Maine to Washington. Democracy is not automatic. Democracy cannot work except through political parties. Every citizen, if he believes in democracy, must vote at every election if our system is to survive the challenge of communism and socialism. The county, state, and federal levels of government cannot operate without a solid grassroots foundation. If you live in a village, attend your party's caucus and plan to vote March 8th. Well, that's pretty good advice. And now here is my colleague, Hugh Harper, with a few of the stories in the news.
Thank you, Dr. Dunbar. A displaced Latvian minister, the Reverend Frīčis Tembers, has taken over the pulpit of the Lakeview Methodist Church. Now, he can't speak English, and his congregation doesn't understand Latvian. But he's doing all right thanks to his wife, who translates her husband's sermon as he preaches. The pastor is studying hard to learn the language. News comes from Africa that Ramona Ray Vinker, the little daughter of two missionaries from Bronson, Michigan, had a birthday party recently. On January 9th, 12 little black friends came to play with Ramona and all her queer American toys. Refreshments consisted of Kool-Aid and Kozai, the latter being a native donut. The Kool-Aid was served in empty Gerber's baby food cans, says the Bronson Journal. Editor Meredith Clark of the Vicksburg Commercial has a good word to say last week for the girls who are cheerleaders at the local high school. Recently, the editor journeyed to Matawan to see the local lads play basketball, and on his return, got stuck in a ditch. Along came a carload of cheerleaders and pushed his car out of the ditch and over the top of an icy hill. Well, editor Joe Wells of the Coloma Courier has started a little demonstration of his own to show what one vital community enterprise means to the community. For 1 week, the Courier and its editor will pay all bills with silver dollars, and the circulation of these dollars will show how the money is passed around. And says the headline, Courier's Clanking Coins to Clog Communities' Coffers. There you are, Dr. Dunbar.
Oh, thanks, Hugh. The Centerville Observer told last week of the completion of the first year of the local's Veterans Institute. The number enrolled has grown from 26 to 90. The men are divided into six classes, studying farm management, fundamentals of agriculture, crop production, dairy production, and shop. The students average 4 hours a week in class. Centerville, being the only school in St. Joseph County having a complete agriculture department, has the only such institute in the county. Others are established at Cassopolis, Hickory Corners, and Coldwater. The City Commission of Sturgis last week approved the purchase of new street lights for the downtown business district. The new lights will boost street illumination about 50%, according to the Sturgis Journal. In an address before the Sturgis Exchange Club last week, Dr. S. Albert Fiegel, president of the St. Joseph County Medical Society, condemned national health insurance. The South Haven Daily Tribune last week editorialized against socialized medicine, and this week published one long letter taking issue with the editor and two shorter ones supporting his views. Chambers of Commerce are actively campaigning for new members in several localities. In Hastings, a membership drive to obtain the active support of every business and professional man and industrialist for a greater Chamber of Commerce gets underway next Tuesday. The city is to be canvassed by teams of workers. The program of the chamber includes the employment of a full-time secretary, says the Hastings Banner. In Coldwater last week, there was a novel plan to stimulate these Chamber of Commerce membership drives. In this campaign at Coldwater, it is hoped that one of the greatest football arguments of all time will be settled. The question was argued in every hotel lobby, on every campus, and in every home last fall, as to whether Notre Dame or the Wolverines was the better football team. Well, the chamber solicitors at Coldwater were divided into two teams last week, Notre Dame and the Wolverines. For each membership renewal, a team gained 5 yards. Thus, it took 20 renewals to make a touchdown. A new membership counted as a field goal. Secretary Jim Alexander dreamed up the idea, which seems to have aroused considerable interest. At the three-quarter period, Michigan trailed Notre Dame, according to the Coldwater Daily Reporter. In Marshall last week, petitions were being circulated for the return of the city to the aldermanic form of city government. At present, city commissioners are elected at large. The Marshall Evening Chronicle said editorially that such a change would be turning backward, and that if any change were to be made, it should be in the direction of a city manager form of government. Senator Creighton Coleman's bill to give Calhoun County a Second Circuit judge got a bad beating around in the state capitol last week. First, Coleman's Republican friends made the issue a party matter, and so the Democrats voted against his bill. And then the Republicans remembered that if a second judge were authorized, Governor Williams would appoint him, and so they began to grow chilly toward the proposal. Finally, the bill went back to the committee. Senator Coleman will be one of our two guests on the lawmakers program this afternoon at 4:30, Our other guest on that broadcast will be Senator Carlton Morris, who represents Kalamazoo and St. Joseph counties in the state Senate. And by the way, the members of the state Senate had quite a party in Marshall last week when they were entertained at the expense of Senators Harold Tripp and Elwood Bonine. A fine example of community cooperation is given by a story in the Marshall Evening Chronicle last week. The people of the Lion Lake Church, south of Marshall, wanted a permanent minister for their church, but there was no place for him to live. And so last fall, the men of the congregation pitched in and built with their own hands a nice six-room parsonage. Materials cost $3,000. Half of that sum has been pledged by individual members. The Ladies' Aid raised $500 with baked goods sales, rummage sales, and so on, and the remaining amount is in sight. All the work was done by the members. A farmer was critically burned near Constantine last week when he used kerosene to kindle a fire in the kitchen range, says the Sturgis Journal. And the Charlotte Republican Tribune tells of a blast from gas leakage which blew up a house near that city. Fortunately, the family was not at home when the explosion took place. Well, the Middleville Sun celebrated the beginning of its 79th year of publication last week. In Ionia, a committee has been named to begin a program to raise funds for a new Ionia hospital. Last fall, county voters turned down a proposal to raise the money by taxation. Now the possibility of a campaign for private contributions and federal aid is being investigated. The Holland Evening Sentinel carried an article last week quoting a commercial fisherman of Saugatuck named George Sewers as saying that commercial trout fishing in Lake Michigan is just about a dead industry. The trout are being killed off, he says, by the sea lamprey, which has invaded the lake. Most fishermen have put their nets in storage. Also in Holland, Leon N. Moody, athletic director of the Holland Public Schools, resigned last week. He has been with the schools there since 1924. His successor will be Joseph W. Moran. In Grand Rapids, A.W. Krause, superintendent of schools, announced last week that he would retire from active duty at the close of the present school year. His successor will be Benjamin Buchema, graduate of Western Michigan College, who has been assistant superintendent there since 1936. The South Haven Daily Tribune tells that 500 students will gather at Bangor next Saturday to take part in a Southwestern Michigan music festival. Some 40 or 50 high schools will be represented with soloists and ensembles. We hear from the Waterbleat Record that Sony Rogers, a local 7th grade honor student in Waterbleat, very widely known throughout the Middle West as a baton twirler, has won the title of National Junior Champion Baton Twirler in a contest which was held last week in St. Paul, Minnesota. And now here's the weather forecast and late state news bulletins. And that's what's doing in Western Michigan. We'll be back next Sunday afternoon at 12:15 with another transcribed edition of your hometown newspaper of the air and what's doing in Western Michigan.